Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast from First Baptist Church at the Fields. I'm Dr. Brent Taylor, and we invite you to join us each week in worship. I am praying for you and trusting God will use this message to encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with Him.
Last Friday, I got to do one of my favorite things. I went in for my second part of my physical yearly checkup. And you might be thinking, Corey, that's a weird thing if you really enjoy that. But it's really because I just ask my doctor all the things I see on Twitter, X now, I guess what you call. And I just throw out every fad, everything of like, is this true? Is this real? And I'm sure he hates all the questions that I ask him. And I'm not going to bore you with all of those. But there's still music going on. Can we? I'm sorry. I'm way too distracted. If there's a background music, can y'all hear that?
Thank you for that intro music. I wasn't sure if I should swing it.
Oh, room two. Hey, I don't even have to preach today, Greg. Thank you. I'm just kidding. But at my routine checkup, everything's good. They just said take a little more vitamin D. So I'm super. I'm thankful. God, thank you for a clean bill of health. But I have a comedian that I really like named Nate Bargatze, and he said something to Jimmy Fallon one time on The Tonight Show. He said, the older you get, the longer those checkups last. And that's so true. I feel like in my 20s, I would walk in, he's like, you're healthy, walk out. And then now it's like, close the door behind you, let's talk about food, let's talk about exercise, about medication, about family history, about your test results. And it's like, those get very long, right? So physical routine checkups, I just want to encourage you. If you haven't done so, you should probably do that. The question I want to ask today is, when was the last time you had a spiritual checkup? Students, what are the first two questions I ask you when I greet you? How we doing? How we feeling? All right, I say those all the time, but I have a new question for you. How is your heart? As your spiritual doctor today, according to your charts, I have some good news, I have some bad news, and I have some recommendations for routine, ongoing checkups going forward. So let's start with the bad news, right? Our hearts are sick and deceitful pieces of stone. You might be thinking, Corey, you need to work on your bedside manner, and you are right. But I love you, therefore I'm going to tell you the truth. A good doctor would not keep your diagnosis from you, right? And that's our diagnosis. Our hearts are sick, deceitful pieces of stone. Our hearts are not as good or healthy spiritually as you think they are. There's a message this world gives that's contrary to what the Bible teaches. Constantly the message is, listen to your heart, follow your heart. Let your heart be your guiding light. And it sounds nice, encouraging, and even empowering for people to do what they think and feel is right. But that would only work if our hearts were good, perfect, and without flaws. So let's look at the scripture and see what God's word says about our heart. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Jeremiah 17, in that chapter, it's set within God's message to Judah, warning them of the consequences of trusting in their own strength, their own wisdom, or looking for their society to provide security for them. So the Israelites are thinking, I can do this on my own. I'm in control. The things around me are in good and in place. I don't really need to trust in God very much. And this is the warning that God gives to Judah. Your heart is deceitful. Above all things, it's beyond cure. Who can understand it? So what does a deceitful heart mean? It means really crooked or uneven, or even you could picture something that's bent. And really our hearts are bent towards sin and towards evil. Do we see evidence of this in the scripture? Of course we do. Adam and Eve desired to be like God, therefore they ate the fruit. King David desired Bathsheba, even though it was not his wife. Peter desired to preserve his life by denying Christ three times. The rich young ruler left the conversation with Jesus sad because he was told to sell his possessions in order to receive an eternal life. Ananias and Sapphira desired to keep their wealth, and they lied about how much they would give as they tithed and gave to the church in the book of Acts. Those are just a couple of examples, but we see this all throughout Scripture. There's only one perfect person, and that's Jesus. Every one of us has a heart that is deceitful, crooked, bent towards sin. Beyond cure or desperately sick. It says the heart is deceitful above all things, and beyond cure, who can understand it? Medically incurable. There's no amount of Flintstone vitamins. There's no amount of cold plunges, red light therapy, grounding, meditation, yoga. Did I tell you I look up a lot of health things on Twitter? There's no amount of health type things that you can do that's going to cure your broken heart, your bent, deceitful heart. Truly, you and I need a cure. And I think that's so evident. Is it evident in the world? We could say, yes, the biblical people, you know, people in the Bible, yes, they had broken, deceitful hearts. But what about people today? Absolutely. Take any group of people who have tried to set up a perfect colony, a utopian society. Have we made one yet? No, it always descends into chaos. Why? Because our hearts are deceitful. It always ends up cheating, stealing, lying, selfishness, right? Because that's where our hearts, that's what they are. You and I need a cure. Do we see people today that desire control like Adam and Eve? Yes. Do we see people lust and commit adultery like King David? Yes. Do we see people care about their wealth and treasure more than they should? Yes. You and I, our hearts are deceitful. Now, you can maybe be sitting there thinking, yes, there's evil out in the world, but I don't do that sin. Church, be very careful about trying to think you are righteous, comparing yourself to other people's unrighteousness. Romans 3, 10 through 12. I know Pastor Brent just preached through Romans, but I just want to remind you of these verses. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God, and all have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. God's word is clear. All have fallen short of his perfect standard. Each of us have a heart that is bent towards sin. So the doctor's diagnosis is clear. We are in desperate need of a cure. Good news. There is a cure. God can work a miracle and give us a new heart. The remedy to our situation is God. It requires a spiritual physician and healer to heal what's wrong with our heart. And the good news is that the one who is able to fix our situation has offered a way to find healing. Ezekiel 36, 26 says this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, the Israelites have been in Babylonian exile, and the reason why they are in exile is because of their idolatry, because they were worshiping the gods around them. But in halfway or towards the end of Ezekiel chapter 33, the tone of the book shifts towards hope, renewal, and restoration. Although they had been unfaithful to the Lord, God restores them. God gives them hope. And so you may be sitting there thinking, God has given up on me. He has not. He offers us as well to give us a new heart and a new spirit, to take our heart of stone and to give us a heart of flesh. So God is the one who gives a new heart and a new spirit, one of flesh. So what is a heart of flesh? Simply, it's a heart filled with love, a heart filled with compassion, and a heart that's selflessness. Jesus' heart for the people was evident when he got done teaching. He was tired. He was about to rest, as it's recorded in the Gospels. Yet he looked at the crowd and he had compassion on them. He said, "They are like sheep without a shepherd." Jesus looked at the crowd and he had compassion on them. I think our world is lacking in a little bit in compassion. We are very quick to cancel, quick to judge, when Jesus has a heart of flesh that has compassion and love for others. So maybe that is a heart kind of test that we need to run, is what is my level of love and compassion for others? Is it like Jesus, or has it been swept up with the rest of the world? So God removes what is broken and sick, our heart of stone. So what is a heart of stone? It's one that's calloused, one that's focused selfishness. You can look at the Pharisees who cared about the laws and looking religious more than loving other people. And maybe some of us have fallen into that. If we were to be honest about our hearts, we've been really focused on ourselves. It's calloused towards others. We've seen too much sin in the world. No one's good. We lack that compassion and love. And maybe that's the prayer we need to go to the Lord today and say, God, will you restore in me the joy of salvation, as it says in the scripture? Will you remove my heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh? So how does this work? How can you and I receive this new heart? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new is here." It is through faith in Christ that we receive a new heart and become a new creation. The old heart of stone is gone, and the new heart of flesh is here. It is in Christ that we can receive a new heart and a new spirit, removing the old and giving the new. It is in Christ. It is through God in Christ that we receive a new heart. So how does this happen? So we know it's Christ, but what does it look like? How does this happen for you and I? Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, "If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." First, we must confess that our hearts are deceitful, that they're pieces of stone, that they're calloused, they're selfish, they're bent towards sin and evil. Even if in our minds we think we're better, not as sinful as others, we come before the Lord and we see his heart and we realize our hearts are truly bent towards sin. We confess our sins, as the scripture says, and we believe and trust in Jesus and who he says he is and what Jesus did. He died on the cross for our sins, and 3 days later rose again, defeating death and able to give eternal life. By believing and trusting in Jesus, by confessing our sins and believing in Jesus, we can be given a new heart and a new spirit. The heart of stone removed, given a heart of flesh. This is the good news, and this is the gospel. This may be a message that you've heard countless times, or maybe this might be the first time you've heard it explained, that you and I are sinners in need of a Savior, that we can be given a new life and a new heart and a new spirit by believing and trusting in Jesus. If this is the first time and you feel that, you believe that, you trust that, you recognize I'm in need of a Savior, my encouragement is to talk to someone today about that. Maybe it's going to the Connect Room. Maybe talking to someone about, hey, I have things to confess. I need to get things off my chest. I need to trust the Lord with my life. I encourage you to do so. So let's talk about routine checkups. The first one is guard. This is a scripture that I share with my students often. Proverbs 4:23. "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." The heart in Proverbs regularly refers to the center of one's inner life and their orientation towards God. It's important that we store up God's word in our heart Because our heart is vital. It impacts our thoughts, our words, our choices. Everything flows from our heart. So what does it look like for us to guard our heart? There's two ways. One is from outward influences, but also inward desires. So outward influences, really this can be so many things. Social media, entertainment, the news, music, people, friends, your inner circle. Whether you realize it or not, you become like the people that you are around. You start to think the way you see things and read things on the internet or through the news. Your outward influences can impact your heart. If after watching news and being on social media or diving into entertainment, it's making you more frustrated, walking away more calloused, more of a heart of stone, less compassion on others, we may need to guard our heart from that so that we can continue to have a heart of flesh, of love and compassion towards others. So what are the outward influences that are impacting your heart? And how can you guard your heart from those things? Second is inward desires. These can be expectations, hopes, and dreams. I say inward desires because I think a lot of times our frustration with God is, well, God, I thought if I just did this, this would be the outcome. These were my expectations. If I did X, Y, and Z, then everything would work out. And instead of having open hands of saying, God, my life is yours, sometimes our inward desires and expectations can leave us frustrated with God because he didn't give us what we wanted. Guard your heart from expecting things that maybe God says, I have something better. Hopes and dreams, the things that you're putting your faith and trust in, your hope in, your joy in, be careful. Guard your heart from these things. A lot of times when I share this verse with students, and it's in the context of dating because they like to talk about dating a lot and relationships. And so I constantly say, guard your heart. If you are naming your children after 3 dates, you are not guarding your heart, right? That's a much later conversation. Guard your heart, your expectations, your hopes, your dreams. But in the same way, us adults can have the same thing. We can have expectations and hopes and dreams about our future, but God may have other plans. So we guard our hearts. And everything we do flows from it. Second one is treasure. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So a routine checkup question is, where is my treasure? Is it in heaven or is it on earth? A simple question is, can your treasure be destroyed or stolen? Where is your treasure? What am I hoping to receive from the treasure that I have? Maybe it's comfort, control, peace, security, popularity, status. What are the things that I just cannot live without? For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And let's be honest, retail therapy is real. Amazon Prime is convenient but tempting. Oftentimes I catch myself repeating a phrase that my mom used to say often, which is this a need or is this a want, right? Maybe I need to return back to that, right? Are you content with what the Lord has given? Is Jesus all that we really treasure and need? So for where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So ask yourself, where is my treasure? Where is my heart? The next one is trust. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. So a routine checkup question could be, where is my heart? Where is my trust? Is it in myself? Is it in my circumstances? Or is it in the Lord? Just like we saw in the Old Testament scriptures, they were putting their trust in idols. They were putting their trust in themselves, in their society around them. But where is your trust? Many of us struggle with the future. We struggle with big decisions that are ahead. We struggle with all the things that are on our plates. We look at our weekly calendar and we're just already stressed. God promises to provide when we trust in him with our heart and we submit to him. He makes our path straight. He gives us understanding. So where is your trust? Is it in yourself? Is it in the Lord? My encouragement is to give him, it says, submit in all your ways, and he will make it straight. What are the things that you need to give to the Lord and submit to the Lord so that he can make your paths straight? The fourth one is love. Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The last routine checkup question is, do I love God, or does God have all of my love? What is keeping me from loving God or giving him my love? Is it fear? Is there fear in your heart so you ignore spending time with him? You ignore spending time with him daily because you're afraid of what he may ask you to do. So it's easy maybe for us to say, but God, I've been teaching Bible study. I teach a Connect class. I volunteer in kids ministry. I do these things. I tithe regularly. And we can quickly become, hey, God, man, you are good because I'm doing all these good things for you when he's saying, I want your heart. He doesn't want more burnt offerings. He wants your heart. Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Does he have all of your love? Is there an apathy or feeling that, you know what, it's not going to change anything? What is a 15 minutes in God's word really going to do? It can do a lot. My encouragement is for you to check and say, does God have all of your love? Is there something in your heart that's keeping you from spending time with him, trusting him? He wants your heart. And that's part of my testimony. Thankfully, I was raised in the church when I was very young. I loved church. I was at all of the things. As soon as the church doors were open, our family was there. I loved God. My relationship with God became real when I realized how broken I was. During a seventh grade Disciple Now Elevate type weekend, I realized how broken I was and how much I needed a Savior. Then I would kind of go into that, I'm going to be perfect, I'm going to be the good kid, but I failed often. No matter how hard I tried to be perfect, no matter how many things I would say, but God, I did this for you, and I did this for you, and I did this for you, trying to earn his love, yet all the while struggling, knowing I wasn't good, but I tried my best to be good and be the perfect kid, the good kid. But truly, there was not peace or freedom in my life because everything was on my own strength. Everything was about my works. I did not realize how just broken my heart was and that I needed a new heart. And so it was when I confessed my sins to friends and family, when I said, you know, this image that I've been putting out there that I'm this good and perfect kid, that's not who I am. It was when I realized I needed God's grace, that I needed a new heart, that I was not good, and that only Jesus is good. But God, if you are still offering to give me a new heart and a new spirit and to take the heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh, I want that. So if you are the one in here that's striving to be perfect, to try to please God, stop. Humbly come before God and say, Will you give me a new heart? Will you give me a new spirit? I confess my sin to you. I admit that I'm a sinner and I'm in need of your grace. Stop the striving and start trusting. God says, I want your heart. I encourage you to do those routine checkups. Guard your heart. Where is your treasure? Where is your trust? And where is your love? Check your heart to see what is the thing that's taking maybe your love or your time or your attention away from the Lord. God is saying, I love you and I want your heart. So I encourage you today to do a heart check. If you would, bow your head, close your eyes. Maybe in the scripture reading and the teaching of God's word and through the questions that were presented, maybe you realized, I've been going through a routine and my heart has actually been really far from God. I want you to know that you're not alone. But God is inviting you into a relationship. And maybe you already have that relationship with God. You've given your heart to the Lord, but you've been really distant. You've gotten into a place where you're saying, but God, I'm doing all these things for you. My encouragement is to reconnect with God. Give him your heart. And he says, I will give you a heart of flesh, one with love and compassion. Maybe for some of you, you need to make a decision today. My encouragement is to go to the Connect Room, talk to someone about that decision, whether it's to make this your church home, whether it's to be baptized, or to begin a new relationship with God. Maybe to recommit and say, my heart has been far. As it says in Psalms 51, create in me a new heart, O Lord. Maybe that's the prayer that we need to say to the Lord today, is create in us a clean heart. Forgive us of our sins and how our heart is deceitful and bent towards evil. Forgive us when we've trusted in our own strength and our own heart and not trusted in you. If you need to make a decision today, I encourage you to go to the Connect Room. God, I thank you for today, and I thank you for the chance to read your word. I thank you that we don't just end with the bad news, but there is good news. That there is good news, that there is a gospel, a good news, that there is a cure for our situation and for our symptoms. God, I thank you that it is in Christ that we can be given a new life and a new heart. God, thank you that you sent your son to save. Help us to love you more, to trust you more, to give you our hearts even when it's scary, knowing that you are the safest place we could ever put our heart, because you are a good God and you are perfect. So God, help us to trust you more today, to give you our heart and to love you more. But God, we thank you for loving us first. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.